Chapter 13, verse 8, what does it say?
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Give God praise for that word. Amen. Never get tired of saying it. Never get tired of saying it. Today I want to talk about becoming free. We want to become free. And there are ways in which we actually become free. This is the 18th segment in our Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Journey Part 2. This is a journey that we started in February of this year. It is now October, and we're rolling strong. We took a few weeks to deal with some other things, but we got back into it. And so I want you to know that as we diligently post these sermons online, that you direct people to them, that you direct people to keministries.org, where they can listen to all of the messages that we're putting out there. You can download them, listen to them at your own pleasure, you know, bring them down, put it on your iPod, your MP3, all that stuff. And so definitely you can have access. We want to make sure we're driving people to our website. And also there are some wonderful things that are happening on our website. And so please go there, visit. It's your website and it represents you. There are some things that you'd like to see. Please go. But also I want to direct you to a key part of our website on our resources page. People have asked about certain things concerning different faiths, specifically in this season, the Mormon faith and how it relates to Christianity. I want you to know that if you go to our website on our resource page, there's a link that links you to drwaltermartin.com. And so you want to click on that link. It'll take you to the page. Click on the Listening Library on his site, the Listening Library. And Dr. Walter Martin has gone on to be with the Lord some years ago, but his daughter keeps his legacy alive. And so he's probably the greatest apologetics teacher I've ever heard. And so you want to go to that site, drwaltermartin.com. And that's Dr. Walter Martin. Check it out. There's a whole list on the Listening Library of various talks concerning different faiths, but specifically the Mormon faith and dealing with that and how it is not Christianity. And so you need to know these things and not get duped by a certain talk that's going on. So I want you to know that. And yes, that is recorded. So let it go out to the world. Amen. Praise be to God. Breaking free or becoming free. And I want you to put a little tagline next to that. Becoming free from the lies. From the lies that have affected your life. Becoming free from the lies. Because how many of you know there's been a lot of lies that have been told about you? There have been lies that have been told to you. Right? And so people have lied on you. Anybody been lied on? All right. Anybody been lied about something? All right. I thought I was going to catch some. Okay. Yeah. I saw some hands go down because we don't like to talk about that part. But let me say this. Hear the statement and then I'm going to show you some things on the screen. Sometimes when we don't pay attention to the details in our lives, let me say this, the devil's not in the details, God is. God is in the details. So we need to stop saying that other phrase, okay? We ain't giving him no credit for nothing, all right? God is in the details, meaning God looks at specific things. And so sometimes when we don't pay attention to the details in life, things don't quite turn out the way that we want them to. I want you to think about that. When we miss the details, when we don't pay attention to the small things or the details, things don't turn out the way that we want them to turn out. Let me give you an example. I found, I had several headlines that I wanted to show you to illustrate this point. And so you're going to see my top 11. Usually there's top 10 list, but I couldn't eliminate one of these, so I just made 11. All right, so my top 11 headline list where people miss the details, or it didn't quite come out the way that I believe the person wanted it to come out, wanted it to be read. Okay? Listen, here's number 11. Federal agents raid gun shop, find weapons. I don't know what else they were looking for, but in the gun shop, you're probably going to find weapons, right? 10, homicide victims rarely talk to police. If they do, you probably want to leave the area. All right? Here's the next one. One-armed man applauds the kindness of strangers. Not loudly, but he did. All right? Didn't come out right, did it? Here's the other. Mississippi's literacy program shows improvement. So I think how to spell Mississippi is going to be the next progression. All right? Here's another one. Illiteracy, an obstacle study finds. Illiteracy is an obstacle, but it was probably hard to spell. So we see why it's an obstacle, right? Illiteracy. Okay. Here's another one. Marijuana sent to a joint committee. That didn't come out right. I don't think they're going to get too much done on that committee. It doesn't sound right. The joint committee. Okay. DOE to do NEPA's EIS on BNFL's AMWTP at INEEL FRA protest. What are they talking about? That's actually a headline. You know, what are they talking about? So it didn't come out right. Statistics show that teen pregnancy drops off significantly after age 25. I guess so. actual headline. Okay. Army vehicle disappears. An Australian Army vehicle worth $74,000 has gone missing after being painted with camouflage. I mean, what do we expect to happen, right? All right, so here's, let's see. Bugs flying around with wings are flying bugs. Very informative, right? Just didn't come out right. I think this is the last one here. And we started with the feds finding guns and gun shop, right? Fish need water, feds say. Real deep. Okay. So anyway, let's go back. The insightfulness of our government. Praise be to God. All right. So when we think about missing the details, things can happen in our lives that just don't. It doesn't come out right. When we don't pay attention to the small things that get this, that have happened to us. The way that we live our lives just doesn't come out right. And when people read us, what are they really reading? What are they hearing? I know what we intended, but what are they really hearing? Sometimes we mean pleasantries, we mean kindness, but people hear hurt. They hear pain. It's not what we intended, but it's in the details of our lives. Go to Proverbs 4:23. Pastor Kristen, can you help me? But listen. Praise be to God. Proverbs 4:23. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. I want you to highlight some things in your Bible today or on your iPad or iPod or phone app, Bible app. A great Bible app is YouVersion. If you have a phone that needs an application for a Bible, it's a great one to have. It's one of the best ones that I know. That's me personally. You may know some others that are good. You can share those with us as well. But YouVersion seems to be a very good Bible application software for all of our electronic devices. So it's one that I recommend. And I don't get anything for saying that. All right? Praise be to God. All right. Wish I did. That means I would have developed it. All right. So Proverbs 4:23 says this. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Out of your heart flows the springs of life. The reason why we're going to be talking about the heart today is because in our heart lies all of the details. Everything that affects us, it is deposited in the heart. Positive and negative. It's deposited in the heart. So we're going to be talking about the heart today. But that's the Amplified. I want you to look at the next version there, Pastor Chris. The next version is the New Living Translation. I want you to hear what it says here. It says, excuse me. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The heart determines the course of your life. It means that whatever you do, your heart is what's going to lead you to do it. It will determine the course of your life. If you're going towards destruction, it's your heart that's taking you there. If you're going towards life, it's your heart that's taking you there. But the heart determines the course of your life. So that means that when we look at this and it determines the course, we must pay attention to what's going into our hearts. Your inner life is a reflection, or your outer life is a reflection of your inner life. That's what I want to say. Your outer life is a reflection of your inner life, right? You know, when I'm in the corporate world, sometimes when you see how people keep their desks, it could be a great reflection on how maybe they even keep their homes. Or get this, on how they may be living. Okay, so I want you to hear me. Now, it may not apply to everybody. Boy, I tell you. So anyway, let me talk to y'all on this side. All right, so. So when we do things, it has a lot to do with what's going on the inside of us. Right? Things, decisions that we make, things that we do, how we respond, has a lot to do with the details that are hidden, that people can't see, that people don't know about, but they're in us and it comes out. So go to, all right, man, we got some folk that's, look at somebody say, I came on the right Sunday. All right. Amen. I like y'all today, boy. This is good. Luke 6:45. Go there. Luke 6:45. Let's look at that. New Testament table of contents, if you need to know. So I want you to be on the page. Don't be ashamed. Or just press the button on your device and it'll take you there. Luke 6:45. The Amplified says this. The upright, honorable, or intrinsically good man, out of the good treasure stored in his heart, produces what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. And the evil man, out of the evil storehouse, or the heart, brings forth that which is depraved, wicked and intrinsically evil. For out of the abundance or overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of where? Out of the heart, what speaks? The mouth. Out of, get this, I want you to hear this, because we've heard a lot of stuff from people all over, people on television, people in the political arena. Out of the heart, the what? So really, people say what they really believe. Right? What's in them will come out. Now, if good stuff is coming out, that means good stuff is in. On the inside. If wicked and depraved stuff is coming out, guess what's on the inside? What's in the heart? Wicked and depraved stuff. Right? There's an exciting word that I heard this week, malarkey. So, stuff will come out that's on the inside. And so you can match up what's going on in a person's life merely by listening to them. You can know a person's heart by listening to them. That's why in the counseling field, and my wife knows as well, that counselors don't do a lot of talking, do they? Counselors don't do a lot of talking. They do a lot of listening. Because I need to just hear what you're saying. I need to know what's in your heart so that I can deal with that and give you some instruction maybe on how to maybe change your heart to look at things differently. Freedom doesn't start on the outside. It starts where? On the inside. That's where freedom starts. Therefore, we must pay attention to what is stored in us or what has been downloaded. Right? From the cloud. Or from the Dropbox. Or you know, wherever you're getting it from. SkyDrive. You know, so there's some stuff that's been downloaded in you. If you think about a computer, what's on that computer is what has been downloaded onto it, right? When they made the computer, they made a device or a shell or a mechanism that could receive information. Once that information is received, then the computer begins to respond and spit out what's put in it. So, really, computers don't make mistakes. People do. Because it just gives what's been put in it. So, we are like those computers. Things have been downloaded into our lives. And some of us have had trouble purging bad information. There's software that seeks the computer to find out if there are any harmful viruses. And then it asks you, if you want to perform the operation that will delete this data from your computer and clean it up so that it could function in a more efficient and better way. Some of us have failed to click on yes. Right? We got a lot of downloaded viruses because, listen, computers get viruses when that computer is opened up to an array of information, and anything has the gateway or the portal to get in. Oh. So when you begin to open up yourself to the internet or television or books that you're reading, and you're opening up yourself, you're creating a portal for information to get in that could be a virus in disguise, waiting to corrupt the data that's present on the system. That's all viruses do. They're designed to corrupt the good data on the system. So there's been some things about you that have been corrupted. Good data. Things that God has said about you. That's good data. That stuff was downloaded. But then what we do is we begin to open ourselves up to the possibility that there may be more to life than God. And so you start dibbling and dabbling into different things and listening to different things. And now the virus gets in and that data, the good things that God said about you, are now in question. It's been corrupted. Am I talking to somebody today? I know I'm talking to somebody today. Matthew 7. Go to Matthew 7. That's to the left of Luke. Matthew 7, verses 18 through 20. I'm actually going to, let's read from the Amplified. It says, a good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit. Nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit worthy of admiration. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. Know what? The tree. Know the core of the individual. You'll know the heart of the individual by the fruit that they produce. Because a good tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit. Not a good one. And a bad tree can't bear good fruit. It's plain and simple. Jesus is telling us or illustrating to us that fruit is a result of what's happening on the inside. Okay? Life is a lot like your dashboard in your car. How many know, and cars have become more and more complicated, but I can remember one of my first cars, and my second probably, that on the dashboard they have certain like warning signs, right? Warning lights. My wife is laughing. She's going to laugh at me. And so, at this one particular car, and the check engine light. How many of you had a check engine light? Come on. All right. Don't get ahead of me, bro. So, now, how many know that check engine, when that light comes on, it's telling you to do what? Oh, man, I wish I had known that. Because it's telling you something, right? It's telling you something is not right. But what we do? What do? Right, because it's still right. Right, still turn on, right? Still working. I put gas in it. It worked. May knock a little bit, but it works. I'm getting where I need to go. Right? So we ignore the light. As long as it's driving well. It's driving. As long as it's moving. Right? As long as it's moving. And then it doesn't help when you have people who tell you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about that light. It don't mean it. I'm gonna come over here a little bit. Don't worry about that light. It's not gonna mean anything. It's okay. It don't mean nothing. then I cross. Can you come pick me up? Because remember that light that didn't mean something. It mean a whole lot right now. So when we ignore the check engine, when we ignore the check your life light, Just because you're still moving, you're still going. But there's a light that's coming on. It says, check your life. There's some stuff that's happening. If you keep going at this pace and you keep ignoring this light, it's going to shut down. It's going to shut down. And you will not be able to function. You have to call somebody, a spiritual tow truck, to come and get you. Because more than likely, get this, the shutdown happens at the most inconvenient time. Just when you got dressed and you was late trying to get where you wanted to go. Click, 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 click. Hope you got some comfortable shoes, because it's over at that point. Am I telling the truth? All right, so just when you don't want it to happen, that's when it happens. All right, and so I know that sound too well, don't it? I know that sound. Y'all can tell. I know. I've been there, done that. Like when you hear that, it's like whoa. It's, just get out the cell phone at that point because you ain't going nowhere. So we need to check the lights, the warning lights that come on. And God gives us warnings. Right? He tells us, you better deal with this. Right? You better deal with that relationship. Because if you don't, it's going to blow up at a time when you don't want it to. When y'all are supposed to be having a good time and all the family's around. And that subject comes up. That you've been avoiding talking about. And now, him or her, they go off. And they don't care who around. And you like, nothing you can do. It's over at that point. Why? Because you did not pay attention to the details. He didn't say, I got to deal with this light. I got to take it to the shop. We got to talk about this. I got to get this checked out. Put the little thing on it. You go now, they put the computer thing on it, right? Because everything computerized now. So they check, well, if you have that type of car, they go and you check the computer. And so it'll tell you, diagnostic test, it'll tell you everything that's happened. Right, someone needs to stop for that diagnostic test. Because say your airflow is not going through the engine well now. You got something clogged, so you may need to change a filter, something like that. So you need to know that the way you've been going is not going to last. It's not going to work. So, but this heart thing, we got to make sure that we guard our hearts, right? Jeremiah 17:9 says this. The heart is deceitful. This is why we need to guard our hearts. Because the heart is deceitful, it says, above all things. Then it says, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Who can know it or perceive, understand, and be acquainted with his own heart and mind? Meaning that the heart is very vulnerable. It is a vital organ in your body that's vulnerable. But the heart that the scripture is talking about is really the core of you, the essence of you, what defines you, the heart of you. Who's at the heart of you? Because what we see on the outside, we see a bunch of layers. We see a bunch of masks, and we're gonna get to that in a minute. But there are layers that we witness and we see. And there are ways in which we deceive ourselves when we're living. We deceive ourselves about certain things. We deceive ourselves. I can remember, I look back now on some of, well, I don't have, hair now, but I look back on some of the hairstyles that I used to wear. And well, some of them don't need to come back. Some of them need to come. Them stay right where they are in the past. And it wouldn't matter to me anyway. But anyway, so I'm saying that when I look back at some of the pictures, and I thought I was looking good. I mean, at that time, you're looking good, right? I mean, fried, dyed, and laid to the side. Some of y'all know about that, right? So, looking good, and then I look back now and I said, what in the world was I thinking about? Right? But what happens is, and when we do that with ourselves, sometimes we look in the mirror and we notice something is not right, but we tell ourselves, it's okay. Oh, this look fine. This look good. No, it don't. Uh-uh. Nope, that does not look good. And I wonder if people have banned mirrors from their homes sometimes. Am I going there? Yeah, I'm going there. And I'm wondering if parents are not looking at their kids. Because some stuff ain't cute. But we deceive ourselves into thinking that it's okay. And it's not. Because we don't want to change. We don't want to take off what we got. Because we say, oh, this is good. This is okay. This is all right. And it's not. Hey, so Proverbs 21. Just look at that. Proverbs 21. I think this is the verse. Verse 2. Yeah, Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his what? Own eyes. Uh-oh, but read that next line. So in our own eyes, we may look good on the outside. But God says, you got some issues. I'm going to weigh and I'm going to try your heart. Where is your heart? And sometimes we use this as an excuse, you know. Well, sister, I didn't see you lift your hands today and praise God. Well, the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, he knows it. Right? He knows my heart. You can't use that excuse. You can't use it in natural life in the real world, so to speak. Right? Hey, you didn't show up for work today. Well, the boss knows my heart. Really? Okay. Don't bother coming tomorrow or the next day after that. Because I know your heart, and your heart ain't in this. See, God knows our hearts. Yes, he does. And he weighs everything up against that. So people can give you accolades. They can say, oh, you look good. You all this, you all that, bag of chips, several dips, and all that. So you can, all that stuff is going on in your life. However, God knows who you really are. He knows what's at the core of you. If we don't deal with some of these lies, we don't deal with some of the stuff that's in us, we're not going to fool God. And we're not going to be able to fool man for long. So, what do I need to guard my heart against? Simply this. Lies that I would believe that have crept into my heart and have changed the course of my life. Somebody said something to you along the way that messed you up. Somebody called you something. Or somebody did something to you and it got in your heart. And now it's still affecting you. It's still bothering you. Yeah, you got a smile on your face, but emotionally you're not healthy. Yeah, you sound like you're okay, but why are you going to bed at night crying every night? It's because it's still there. You haven't dealt with it. Lies about you. People have said things about you that have been about me that have been ungodly. And they've affected our confidence. They've affected our value. Am I talking to somebody? Lies will always result in a loss of freedom. When you buy into the lies, you become bound. Lies will always affect or cause a loss of freedom. Because you begin to live within the boundary of that lie. Because you bought into it. And it made you feel a certain way. And you begin to think that this is how I really am. And it's not. It's who you have become. And you've lost the freedom to be who you really are. Just think about this now. Think about this. Some very serious stuff here. John 8, 31 and 32 says this. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word or hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly what? My disciples. And you will know the what? And the truth. So if the truth sets you free, then what do lies do? They bind you. They place you in bondage. That's what lies do. So let's think about the other aspect of that statement. Because we always say the truth will set you free. Okay. But I got to first deal or confront this lie that has me bound. I don't know the truth because I believe in the lie. As the truth. So I'm corrupted in the way that I think. I'm corrupted in how I approach life. And if you've ever been frustrated with a computer that's been corrupted, you notice that it slows down and does not operate the way that it should operate. It's sluggish. It's like it's zapped of its energy. And that's what happens to us. We get zapped of our energy. We can't focus because that lie keeps corrupting more and more good data every single day. The lie. Somebody said, you good for nothing, so and so, and you believed it. You say, I ain't good for nothing. I mean, can you think about that vile statement? You're good for nothing. Good for nothing. Wait a minute. And when you buy into that, you'll be more and more afraid to take risks, to walk out on faith. I'm going to get to a point here. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But it's like when I take care of my lawn and I'm doing weeds, and you've done this before. Have you ever been to a point where you may have become tired and you left a weed and you left it there, you didn't get it, you could have just simply went over and pulled it up, right? I know I'm not talking to some folks just fanatical about it. But anyway, you kind of left that weed, you say, oh, I'll get it, you know, later. I'll get it later. You forget about it. Now that weed grows and grows and grows, and the weed that you forgot about is now looking like a bush. Now, because it's gotten rooted, it takes more effort to get it out. It has attached itself to the house, under the house somehow. And what you could have pulled out with your hands, snatched it out. Now becomes something that you struggle with. And if you had gotten it when it was small, you'd have pulled out the root and everything. Now the root and got so far down in there, then now you're just cutting off the head of it, what's above ground. And guess what? If you don't put something on it to kill it, it's going to grow right back. That's what we come to church sometimes. Really, we pluck the weed. You know, this big weed that has grown in our lives and we've ignored, we pluck it. We just cut off the head of it and we look like everything is clean and crisp and nothing is there. But when we leave here, we got 6 days for that weed to grow right back again. It's going to grow right back. And what you do, you just go out there and you just chop off the head again and you show up. Hey, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. In Christ. And the weed grows back. Because it's rooted now. Because you refuse to put something on it that will kill it. So you're just ignoring it. These are the lies that we've been told in life. There are layers of the heart. Let me show you layers of the heart real quick. And five layers I'm going to talk about. This is the best illustration I can give. The first is behaviors. Behaviors are layers. The outer layer. This is the outside. This is what happens on the outside or the exterior, what people see. This is the fruit that comes forth. Remember we talked about the fruit that comes forth in Scripture? This is the exterior life, what people see. Our behaviors are driven by choices. Sounds familiar. Driven by choices. These are what behaviors are based upon, choices. So choices take us into the next layer going inward as relates to the illustration. And so we have to take responsibility, sounds like a message that we just ministered, for our choices, taking responsibilities, because our choices can lead us to regretful behaviors. We got to stop blaming others for our behavior and for the things that we do. Remember? Talked about that too as well. But where do choices come from? Choices come from desires. Desires serve as an urge to meet an unsatisfied need. I need to be recognized. I need security. I need safety. I need to be respected. I need to be loved. Just to be loved. That's what I need. So it comes from an urge to meet an unsatisfied need. Where do desires come from? Desires come from beliefs. Next layer in, beliefs. Beliefs are this. What I believe is true about others, about myself, and about God. This is what makes up my belief system. What I believe to be true about others, about myself, and about God. Our lives function on what we perceive to be truth. What we get perceived. Notice what I said there. Perceived to be truth. Right? And the final layer at the core of the heart is this, is our identity. What I draw upon that tells me what is true. This is what defines me. And this is where I recognize who defines me. Listen to this first example. Just let me stop there. Leave that slide up right there. This is the first example here. I want you to think about this story, this account. See how it applies to what we just talked about. A female, a woman has had something done in her past that she is ashamed of. She doesn't want to talk about it. It makes her feel guilty every time she thinks about it. It makes her feel as if she's not valuable. That lie and that situation settles in her heart. And it says this, the lie says, you'll never be forgiven. That's what the lie says. You're not valuable, you'll never be forgiven. Now, she desires to be valued. But the lies told her that she's not valuable. But her desire will cause her to look for anybody that will give her attention. Because her desire is to be valued, right? So while she's at work, she finds her boss giving her attention. Her boss is married. She falls into the temptation due to the desire. Remember Eve? She looked at that fruit and it was something that she desired. And that's why she ate. So she wanted to be desired. She wanted to feel value. And this lie kept in her heart saying that she's not. But she said, I have a desire to be valued. So somebody shows her attention and says that she's valued and that she's valuable. Now she falls into the trap. It's a setup. She has an affair. Then her boss treats her as if nothing has ever happened. And the shame is even larger and greater for this woman than it was before. All due to a lie that was told to her that said she was not valuable. Listen to this. A young man. His parents are overbearing. And his dad withholds his affirmation because the son does not do everything perfectly. The lie that settles in is that if you don't do things perfectly, you will not be valued. That's the lie. The desire in his heart is to avoid rejection due to failure. He says, if I fail, I'm not valued because my dad just doesn't affirm me until I do things perfect. So I go through life now saying, if I don't do things perfectly, I won't be valued. And I want to avoid rejection. So now this young man becomes paralyzed in life. He will not try anything, nor will he try to strive to become better than what he is for the fear of failing. Because if he fails in his heart, he believes that he won't be valuable. Why? Because it all started with his dad. He says, you're not valuable unless you do it perfectly. Dad, I worked hard and I got a B, but it's not an A. Get out of my face. Do you know that people have lived that type of life? And so now their whole lives are predicated on, oh, I got to be perfect. This is the only way my dad would affirm me. This is the only way I feel valued if I'm lying in the arms of any man just to fulfill my desire because someone did something to me earlier that said, that told me the lie that I wasn't valuable. Hebrews 4:12. My last two verses here. I got another one coming up, Psalm 139. But Hebrews 4:12 says this. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. Penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and the joints, and of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, here's the key part, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the what? Heart. Do you understand this? That God said, his word is what's going to cut down deep. And it's his word that's going to judge and analyze and look at the things that are in us and tell us that's a lie and here's truth. You got to understand that if anybody's ever said anything to you, you got to match that thing up with the word. Is this true, what I'm believing? They told me I was not valuable, but is it true? But no, because the word of God says that he loves you so much that he was willing to sacrifice himself, his very life, that you might have an act or a part of his life or to be a participant in the kingdom of God when you were his enemy. He said, I loved you. You're valuable. So if anybody tells me that I'm not valuable, you got it wrong, baby. This word has cut down. It is judged. It has analyzed what you said, and what you said has come up wanting. I'm valuable. But you got to be in this word and be willing to be cut. Because it'll cut you. Some stuff that you thought. You find out, man, that's a lie. But I was believing that all my life. That's a lie. You can't do this. But I can do all things. Through Christ. Gives me strength. I'm weak, but he gives me strength to do it. I don't have the resources, but he gives me strength. See? When you're able to get into his word, it's going to cut through. And there's some stuff you thought about yourself. You thought you were all that, and God cuts you. And says, no, I need you to be humble. Because in humility, there's power. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, so this word is meant to connect with our heart, because it's in our heart where identity lies. And God says, I need you to know who you are. That you're more than just a man or a woman, or what a man did to you, or what a woman did to you. You're more than that. He said, I love you too much. You know what I gave up for you? And now you just want to just throw it away because somebody said that you were no good? Somebody rejected you? Did I reject you? God talking. God said, did I reject you? Were they there when I was hanging on the cross? Who died for you? I didn't reject you. So hold your head up. Throw your shoulders back. Walk upright. You value. So Psalm 139:23-24 says this. Search me thoroughly. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my what? Because that's where my identity lies. Try me and know my thoughts, because that's where it originates. My thoughts originate in my heart. And see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me. Where? In my heart. That's what he's talking about. At the core of me, my identity. And lead me in the way everlasting. I can only be led in the way everlasting if my heart is right. Search me. See what lies beneath. You get that? See what lies lie beneath. That's the key. What lies at the core of you right now? What's at your heart that you believed? And that's why you haven't done what you should do. That's why we're not living out our dreams. Because we believe the lie. Somebody told you, you needed something in order for that. You needed more money in order for that. Somebody, wait a minute. I need God. God can use money. You need more education. No, I need God. And God can provide the education. See, the lie is when people tell you what you need. That's not what you need. That's a resource. What you need is God. The source. You need the blood of Jesus on your life. You need the anointing. You need the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's what you need. Now you can look at the degree. Now you can look at the money. But you need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need. So don't buy that lie about what you need. Other folks telling you. All this, and this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to write this down. I want you to ponder over this. I don't even want you to try to answer this in just this first time. But we're, as I close, that's all I want you to do. because it's all about becoming free. Listen to this. I want you to write down this question that you're going to ask God. Lord, what is the lie about me that I am believing? And what is the truth that I should replace it with? I'm going to repeat that. I want you to write this down. I want you to ask yourself this question every day this week. When you get up, when you lie down, whatever. At least once a day. Because I want you to attach Psalm 139 to it. Search me. But listen, Lord, what is the lie that I am believing? And what is the truth that I should replace it with? That's the question. Lord, what is the lie that I'm believing about my life? What has someone told me? What have I told myself? That's a lie. And I've been believing it as truth all this time. So tell me, what's the truth I should replace it with? Because somebody at some point told you and I something that was definitely a lie. So now you're asking God to search you. This is how you live out Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. This is how I want you to live it out this week. Lord, show me the lie that I'm believing in my life about myself. And what is the truth that comes forth from your word that I should replace it with? Show me how to counteract that thing. I want to download the antivirus software. I like that. Give me something that says the antivirus software. I want to download it from this book right here, from this 66, right? I want to download this into my heart so that it can go after the viruses, the lies, so that I can be free. Free to live my life like God wants me to live it. Lord, have mercy. I'm tired of living the lie. Somebody told you a lie. Told you you couldn't move. Somebody told you you couldn't go here. Somebody told you you couldn't go there. That's a lie. Let's break outside of this box and become free. Antivirus software. You ready to download it? Put it on your system. So then we can kill the viruses that are causing us to be sluggish in life. That's messing up our operating system. Woo. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for just downloading into me the things to say today.